Hey, Summit family, welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. I'm Pastor J.D. Greer.
And I'm Pastor Brian Laritz. We are very thankful you have come to listen to the message from this week.
You know, our mission here at the Summit Church is to follow the Holy Spirit in creating a movement of disciple-making disciples here in Raleigh-Durham and around the world.
And we are encouraged by you coming to listen and to know God through His Word. We do have many resources here at the Summit Church to help you grow as a disciple in worship, witnessing, stewardship, servanthood, and as a church and community member.
Yeah, you know, and the best place to check all that out is at our website, summitchurch.com, or even better would be our Summit Church app. It's got a lot of great tools on it, ways that you can get connected, way it can be more than just a listening experience, but really kind of just a part of your discipleship process.
Yes, there are several ways to plug in, and we hope you will join us on mission.
Ultimately, we're excited and very thankful that you are listening, and we hope this teaching is going to deepen your relationship with God and encourage your mission to be sent both to your community and those around you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Y'all go ahead and turn with me, scroll with me, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It is so good to be with y'all this morning, especially those of you that are new, family, visiting in town, first-time guests. We're just so glad that y'all are here and y'all would come and hang out with us. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now we're going to talk about this morning preparing the way. And before we do that, I want to do a competition for everyone in here. There are winners and there are losers, so I just want you to know that. Go ahead and stand up with me. Everybody here, stand up with me. I see you over here. You just rolled your eyes at me. I need you to stand up. It is light in here. I will call you out. Great. All right, we're going to see who the most prepared people are for Christmas in this room. All right? Who the most prepared people are. So, if you do not have a tree yet, sit down. Wow. What are you doing? Thanksgiving's gone, people. All right, it's time for a tree. My goodness. Okay, if you do not have decorations in your yard, sit down. Wow. Y'all don't even care, you know? I mean, do you not want everyone to know that you're in the Christmas spirit? That's the only way they can tell. All right, for those of you that are left, do you have decorations in every room of your house? Stay standing. Okay. These people have decorations in every room of their house. All right, wait. Wait. If you haven't watched a Christmas movie yet, sit down. All right. If you have not baked Christmas cookies yet, sit down. Hey, can we cheer for them? Winners, winners. I see you. I see you. That's amazing. Y'all go ahead and take a seat. That's amazing. Christmas is a month away. What are y'all doing? Why? Why now? Look, each and every one of us in here, prepare for Christmas. Whether it's we buy ugly sweaters, we look forward to our movies, we buy hot cocoa, we have songs playing over and over and over, which The Temptations, Silent Night, may that bless you. We are getting ourselves into the Christmas spirit and we're preparing our homes, we're preparing every room, we're preparing food. But I want to ask us this morning, are we preparing our hearts the same way we're preparing our homes? Do we prepare our hearts for a Savior as much as we prepare our homes for a season? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about preparing the way, and we're going to look at preparing our hearts for the Christmas season, for the coming of Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and became a baby in a manger. And we want that to be something that we look forward to and we prepare for. And I want that for you. I want you to want it for me. I want us to look forward to the birth of Christ the same way we prepare our homes. And so we actually are going to jump ahead chronologically today to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 is talking about John the Baptist, which those of you that have been here long know I have a stutter. So John the Baptist is a lot of words, so I'm just going to say JTB, okay? So JTB and Jesus are cousins. JTB was born first, a few months ahead of him. And then what we're going to read today actually happens when they're in their early 30s. And JTB comes on the scene preparing the way of the Lord, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what actually happens 30 years after the birth of Christ, we're going to use as a principle to prepare our hearts for the baby that is born in a manger. And so let me read Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 again for us now with that perspective on our hearts. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Now just a point of clarification here about John the Baptist. I feel like he gets a bad rap. I feel like some of you think he looks like a wild, like mountain man or like a wild guy that's been in the wilderness. Some of you are like, "Johnny probably looks a lot like you," but he actually looks way better than me and cleaner than me. And let me tell you where I find that scripture. First, it said he wore camel's hair. Do you know how expensive camel's hair is? Google right now a camel hair coat. It is one of the most expensive wools. And if you blend that wool, my goodness, that is the entire Christmas budget right there. And so this camel hair is expensive. Then he has a genuine leather belt. How many of you in here have a genuine leather belt? It's not pleather. It's not reversible. It's a leather belt. Then he eats wild honey, locally sourced honey. His allergies were fine. He was in the wilderness, but the dust and everything blew. He stayed straight. He was one of the most cleanest guys you would ever meet because he was in the river every day dunking people in. So he bathed every day. And think about that workout. Have you ever stood in the middle of a river where there's enough water to dunk someone and been able to stay on your feet? His legs, he looked more like the Rock than he does anything else. He had to be jacked with his legs, arms, pushing people down, pulling them up. And so if you think he looks like this wild man, he does not. He's in a great jacket, great belt. He's probably got great teeth, unless he's got some locust in him. And so, but they were free range, all right? And so he would dip them in honey just for a little snack, right? I'm sure he did intermittent fasting, you know? And I'm sure keto was a part of what he was doing. So when you think about him, don't think about this wild man, all right? I actually have no scriptural basis for anything I just said, but I think it was worthy to note. What is worthy to note is his message. Repentance, repentance. Mark 4, verse 4, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I don't want you to get hung up on baptism here. Baptism was used during this time, especially by the Jews, for a ritual cleansing. And what John is doing here is saying this is an expression of not just a ritual cleansing, but a sin cleansing life. John didn't baptize them because they were saved. They repented of their sin and were baptized as a symbol of their salvation. But John's message is key: repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. When we think about preparing the way and preparing our hearts this season, first we have to identify what is the way. Well, let's answer that. What is the way? What is the way that we are talking about here? Well, the way is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. John is preaching to them saying, repentance and believe, repent and believe, because they are going in the wrong direction. Repentance is actually a military term. It means to do an about face. So repentance, the Greek of that is metaneo, metaneo. It is you are heading one way and you make an about turn and begin to go the opposite direction. Some of you say to me sometimes or to each other, you know, I've made a change in my life and I've made a 360 degree turn. That is not repentance. That's just a spin. You put forth a lot of effort just to be right back where you were. Repentance is an about face. It is you are heading this way, lost and blind in the sin in your life, and you repent and turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Now, I know many of you might say, but John, when you say that I need to repent, I don't think I do. I don't think I'm a bad guy. I don't think I'm a bad girl. I don't think I've done that much wrong. Well, let's just take a sin test here, all right? Those of you that just updated your iPhone, and when you scroll to the bottom to get the new update, did it say, I have read all the terms and agreed to everything here? Did you click it? Yes. You're a sinner because you lied. You didn't read every word, nor did I. I'm a sinner too, but I clicked it. And so you sinned, you lied. And let's just address this now. You droid users, please, you were just sinners because you use a droid. Stop ruining my text threads with these nonsense green bubbles. Please stop adding me to them that I can't get out of. It is a term. You know how hard it is as a pastor to be added to a group thread and say, please take me off this. But then they can't. You can't. You droid, man, I shouldn't have said that because now every one of you are going to add me to a group thread, all of you droids. But look, we all sin. And I know I make light of that, that you click that I have read the terms and agreed to everything. But that is a symbol of our lives. We are sinners. You've sinned. You lied. And because you lied, you have chosen to disobey God. So if you still need further convincing and you're like, John, I just don't know. That's a small sin. There is no scale of sin. It's either you sin or you don't. Let's line up your life with Scripture. Let's line up your life with the holiness of God. Do you think you meet every requirement there? Do you really think in your life, if I were to go through your life right now and line your life up Scripture, that you would meet every requirement in it? No, none of us would. None of us do. None of us do because we are pursuing our sin, because we are going after ourselves and our desires. We are blind, running away from God while God is running towards us. See, our sin causes us to be separated from God. And the way that John is talking about here, repentance and faith, is the way it's always been to God. See, when God created you, He didn't create you to rule you. He created you to love you. When God created you, He didn't create you because He needed you. He's not an insecure God that He needs to create you for your affection for Him. He is a complete God within Himself that He doesn't need you, yet He created you so that He can love you and you can experience Him in a relationship with Him. But what we did is we chose to sin. We chose to disobey God. We chose to pursue our own desires. We chose to disobey Him. And in that disobedience, we separated ourselves from God. But what did God do? God didn't leave us there. God sent His Son, born in a manger, became a man, lived the life that we were supposed to live, and died the death our sin deserved so that through Him we can have eternal life. Our sin leads us to death. Our Savior brings us life. And so repentance is not out of fear, but it's out of the kindness of God and a desire for Him. Romans 2:4, hold your finger in Mark and flip over to that. Just keep turning right. Romans 2:4, It says, or do you presume on the riches of the kindness and forbearance and patience of God, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? I'm in a Bible study with a few guys, and we do it on Friday mornings at 9, and we're going through Romans, and one of my buddies on there just decided to look through the different versions of the Bible. Now, off the top, I'm not affirming you to read this for your devotion, all right? But there is a version called the ERV. He calls it the ERV. It's the easy-to-read version. I didn't know that existed, all right? I don't read that, but I think its translation of Romans 2:4 is helpful. Again, I'm not affirming that version for you. Romans 2:4, though, in the ERV, I want to read it for us. God has been kind to you. He has been very patient, waiting for you to change. But you think nothing of his kindness. Maybe you don't understand that God is kind to you so that you will decide to change your lives. When I think about the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It's not fear. It's not control. Think about somebody or some situation in your life that they ruled you and they controlled you and they made you do things. May have been an older sibling, may have been a parent, may have been a coach, maybe a teacher. How long did you do what they told you to do? Well, as long as the threat was real or as long as they could see you. But what happened in your heart? Did you obey them and do it because you desired it, or did you do it because you feared them? You feared them. There was no relationship there. There was fear. Look, whenever we love someone that loves us back, that's wonderful, but that's not the love that we're talking about here. See, God loved us and we didn't love him back. You know how hard it is to love someone that doesn't love you back? Let me tell you about trying to love my 3-year-old. It's not easy. It's not easy. We were at my sister's house, and she had a blow-up snowman. Well, my son fell in love with it. So we came home, we went to Lowe's yesterday, and I'm like, buddy, let's get a snowman. So we got the cheapest, smallest one that's about his size. Well, last night, he wanted the snowman to be in his room. I'm like, that's fine, that's cute. Let's make a memory. Well, then he started to box it. Then he started to throw it. Then he started to sit on it. Then he hit me, then he hit it. And in that moment, my son was not easy to love. My son did not love me back. I took the snowman out the room. And do you think he was like, thank you, Dad, for teaching me this lesson. This is valuable for my life, a core memory for both of us. No, he lost his stuff on me, on his mom, on his stuffed animals, everything. My son was not easy to love them, but I love him and adore him. And I'm gonna pursue him. God feels the same way about you, and you treat God the same way my son does me. We treat God like we don't care about him, we don't want him in our lives. We are pursuing our sin, running after ourselves and our desires, yet God over here is pursuing us and running after us. And it's not the fear of God that leads us to repentance, but his kindness. His kindness, that God did not leave us in our sin. God did not make us pay the price for our sin. God did not pour his wrath out on us, but he sent his son, born in a manger, grew up to be a man that lived the life we were supposed to live, and then took the penalty that we had so God could whip him, so God could hug you. God beat his son and put him to death for your sin so that God could love you and be restored to you, which is the relationship he created you for. That is the kindness of God. The kindness of God is that your sin does not define you. Your record does not define you. Your good or your bad does not define you. That there is nothing you could do that would make God love you anymore. Nothing you have done that would make God love you any less. The kindness of God is that in your sin, he still ran after you. And it's that kind of love. It's that kind of love that changes you. It's that kind of love, knowing that you are a sinner deserving to die, yet God in his great mercy and love and kindness pursued you and sent his son for you. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God that causes us to turn from our sin and turn to him when we realize and know how much we are loved. That's what John the Baptist is saying here. The way is repentance. The way is to turn from your sin and turn to him. Be forgiven for your sin. That is the way. But around Christmas time, it's also easy to think about other ways. So we've talked about what the way is. Now let's talk about what's not the way. What's not the way is religion and ritual. Religion and ritual. Religion is just trying to be saved by works on your own. That's religion. A bunch of works that you set up and try to do so that God will save you. Ritual is doing things that you think your grandparents did, your parents did, and just by doing them, God will love you and he'll be okay with the bad stuff that you have done. Religion happens a lot during Christmas time because we look at all the things we have not done all year and we're ashamed of them, or all the sin that we have committed all year and we're ashamed, and we think, oh, we've got to do all these things now for God to love us, which is not true. That's not what John the Baptist says here at all. He does not preach a baptism of works. He preaches it of repentance. It's also not ritual. I know at Christmas time, many people come back to church. Many people come back to God because we hear it in the songs. We see it in the front lawns. We do all the things and say, well, I always went to church as a kid. I always heard about God. I like these songs. My grandma always talked about this. And so we probably need to go just so, you know, we'll have a good Christmas season. In fact, what is Christmas without God? So let's just go because it's been a part of who we are. Look, I grew up in South Carolina. It is cultural there. It's what you do. You just go to church because if you don't, you can't go eat lunch at mama's house. And so you go because it's ritual, it's tradition. There are many traditions that we do during Christmas time that we think we do them because God will love us or because we love God, when in fact there's no relationship there whatsoever. The only thing that brings relationship is repentance, turning from sin, turning to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is saying the way is repentance into a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus even says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so when John the Baptist is there preparing the way, he is preparing the hearts to receive a savior, not serve a ruler. And so when we think about the way is repentance and faith. The way is relationship. What is the way that you are following today? Is it a relationship? Is it repentance? Is it you come to God not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done for you? Maybe your way is religion. Maybe you think you need to be here today in order to undo all the bad things that you have done, or to put a little cash in the bank so when you do the bad things, you can draw on it. Maybe it's ritual. You're just in town with mama or grandmama and they made you come today. Maybe it's just because you think it's the right thing to do, but yet there's no relationship there. If that's true, then you are headed the wrong way. And the only way you can go the way of the Savior is through repentance. That's the way. That's the way we follow. And as John was in the wilderness saying, prepare the way, I want us to think about the same thing. How are we preparing our hearts right now to receive a Savior that on Christmas morning we can shout for joy, not because of the gifts, but because of our sin is paid for because of a baby in a manger that became our Savior? So we need to look at three ways that we are gonna prepare the way. How do we prepare the way? Three ways: remember, remove, replace. And you know, my stutter might hang me up on those R words, so I might sound like a chainsaw trying to be cranked up here, okay? So just bear with me. But when we remember, one of the ways we prepare the way is we remember. We remember the promises of God. Now let me make this, compare this to decorating for Christmas. We came home Friday from my mom's house in South Carolina, stopped at a state farmer's market, got a tree on our way into town, and spent Friday night decorating our tree. And man, that's one of the sweetest, funnest times. We've got a Christmas movie on, the fire is lit, music's playing, and Ashley and I begin to pull our ornaments out the box. And as I do, I see the first ornament that we got whenever we were married. I see the first Christmas of us when we were married. I see some of her childhood ornaments that her mom and dad got her. I see some of the ornaments that my mom and dad got me. And as we're hanging the tree, we're just remembering our tiny, dingy apartment in Charleston when we first got married. We're remembering when her brother hung off the roof so that he can put lights on the house. We're just remembering all these sweet things, and we're smiling and we're laughing and we're looking into each other's eyes as we remember the good times and the years that we have had. But also, as I look at these, man, remembering's hard because I see pictures of my dad who died in 2020. I see the early years of our marriage where we long to be parents, but we struggle with infertility. I remember the years we would open up Christmas presents with family members and all the kids would have gifts and Ashley and I would just squeeze our hands because we weren't parents yet. I looked at those and I saw unmet dreams of a kid that thought his life would turn out one way but didn't. And I know Christmas time especially is hard, and it's a hard time to remember. And I know as we look through our lives and our years and maybe the ornaments of our lives, we look and we see that maybe this year you lost someone and you're gonna go through this first Christmas without them. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe you got a diagnosis. Maybe your child walked out of your life and isn't talking to you now. Maybe your spouse walked out of your life. Maybe you just lost your job and you don't know how you're gonna pay for Christmas. And so you're remembering this year. And when you remember the promises of God, you were having a hard time reconciling. God, how can you be good when all of these things happen? God, how can you be good when life hurts so bad? And remembering is tough because when we remember the good, but we also remember the pain. We remember the loss. We remember the hurt. But as we remember the pain and the hurt, as we remember the kindness of God, we've also got to remember the promises of God. That though you may feel alone, you serve a God that says, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Though you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, you serve a God that says, I will provide all your needs. That though you have a broken relationship, you have a God that sent his son to restore the relationship that you were created for. That though somebody walked out on you, God will never walk out on you. That though you may feel weak, he is strong. You may feel broken, he will bind you up. You may feel hopeless, but he brings hope. That though you are hurting, he brings healing. That though you feel lost, he will find you. That though you feel like you cannot be loved, he cannot love you anymore. That this season, you serve a God that sees you, that knows you completely and loves you completely, that you are not alone. And as you remember the hard times, the only hope you have is to remember the promises of God. Now, you might say, John, that's all good and well, but what promises of God do I need to remember? Where do I start? Right here. Start in Mark that we read in the first three verses that John the Baptist preparing a way in the wilderness was a prophecy that was spoken 900 years before that. God speaks and he delivers. He promises and he acts. God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Remember the promises of God. One of the things, funny, my wife, I say this with her. She is not controlling at all. She is the greatest woman in the world. She is particular, right? But everything has its place and its purpose. So my son and I wake up the next day after we had hung all the ornaments on the Christmas tree. Well, he starts to rearrange them, and so do I. And she's like, get out in the yard, get out in the yard, leave my tree alone. Everything is just so. But in that, one of the things we're gonna do this year, I haven't told her this yet, is that we, so she's hearing this along with y'all right now, is that we are going to take time and write down cards, ornaments of the promises of God that he has kept to us and we have clung to this year. And we're gonna hang them on our tree. Might be the back of our tree, right? But we are gonna put them on our tree so that when we see year after year the memories and the ornaments that we remember the times, we also wanna remember the promises of God that stayed us, that sustained us. Now, you don't have to throw them on your tree, but I want you to write down the promises of God. You may wanna start with your testimony. You may wanna write it out. And you may wanna put it somewhere so that every day until Christmas Day, you read that as evidence of the kindness of God, as evidence that God has fulfilled his promise to you. Maybe you wanna write them on cards and you just read that every night. Maybe you want to hang them on the tree as you hang ornaments of God, of things that people have given to you. You wanna hang things on the tree to remind you of the goodness of God, that reminds you that though this world may pass away, his word will not. And that God is pursuing you in his love and his grace, and he is upholding you with his righteous right hand. How do we prepare the way? We remember. The second thing, second and third, I'm gonna do together. We remove anything that does not remind us of the promise of God. We remove anything that gets in the way of remembering, and we replace these things. We replace with things that help us remember. So we remove anything and we replace things. When we decorate for Christmas, we've got to move chairs, we've got to move ottomans, we have Christmas glasses, we have a Christmas runner, we have Christmas towels, we have Christmas decorations, we have Christmas everything. Well, I have a rule with my wife, one in, one out, right? If Christmas is coming in, something's going out. We've got to make room for it. Well, how in your heart and your life are you making room to remember the promises of God? Maybe it's on your commute to work. Or maybe it's the first 15 minutes if you work from home when you sit down at your desk. You take time and read Luke 2. Luke 2 is the story of Jesus being born. Maybe it's you decide, hey, before we go to sleep every night or before I turn that Christmas movie on, I'm gonna read Luke 2 right now with my family. Maybe it's before you do those things, you write down a promise that God has fulfilled in your life. I'm not saying don't enjoy Christmas. I want you to, but I also want you to prepare and make room for a Savior. I want you to prepare and make room to remember. Remove the things that help you or don't help you remember, and then replace them with things that remind you of the goodness of God. Maybe it's you want to download our app. We have a daily revival on there that we will read the Word of God to you. We will give you things to pray for. Maybe it's that you want to call someone up, somebody that you know has been going through a tough time, and you just want to say, hey, I thought of this promise of God today, and I just want to pray with you about this. Don't text them, call them. Maybe it's you want to just share with people on your street that you've been saved and that Christmas means more to you because your God became a baby, so that he could become a man that would die on a cross to save you of your sins. What are things that you just need to make room? I love Joy to the World. Joy to the World says, let every heart prepare him room. Are you preparing your heart the same way you are preparing your home this Christmas season? God has made a way through Jesus Christ. And now I want us to prepare the way, to prepare our hearts, to prepare the way as a church. One of the ways I want us to do that is to take time right now in our service and take communion together. So pull out the bread and the cup. And look, if you were here today and as I was talking about repentance and faith, you realize I have never surrendered my life to God, then what I want you to do is just put the bread and the cup down on the seat. And what I want you to do is open up your heart and your life. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you and be saved today. Hear the message of John the Baptist from thousands of years ago. Repent from your sins. Ask for forgiveness and be saved today. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then I would love for you just to set this down, because it's not for you, but what is for you is what it represents. And so instead of taking it with us, I want you to really examine your own life. What way are you following? And then I want you to open your eyes and just look at us, as we don't claim that we are much, but that our Savior is much. And He is so much that He lived the life that we were supposed to live, the perfect, holy life. And then He died the death that our sin deserved. That's why He deserves our life and why we are taking this. I want us to take this standing up. So if y'all would, stand with me. As you do, I want you to open up the bread, and I want you to hold it in your hand. And I want you to think about God promised that He would send His Son to be the Savior of the world. And that the bread you hold in your hand, the flesh, the body that was broken for you, started out as a baby in a manger. And that baby became your Savior. Take this bread and remember the goodness of God. In the same way, I want you to take the cup, and I want you to remember that Jesus Christ stayed on that cross until all the blood was shed, so that all of your sins are forgiven. When we think about preparing the way in our lives, we are looking forward to a God who is sending a Savior that will take away the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. This shed blood was the sacrifice, the penalty, the payment that our sin required, so that we may be restored to God. Take it and remember the kindness of God. God, we thank You. We thank You. Thank You for sending Your Son as a baby in a manger. Thank You for fulfilling prophecy through John the Baptist. Thank You for making a way for us. God, help us. Help us. Help us remember. Help us remove the things in our life that just distract us, and help us replace them with things that remind us of You. Let us look forward to Your birth with anticipation and excitement. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed it and it helps you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. We would love for you to share this message with the people you know, and also remember to subscribe as well. Have questions about the Summit Church or want to find more resources? Download the Summit Church app to easily connect and check out more. Finally, if this message has impacted your life, we would love to hear from you. Let us know through the Summit app or our website, summitchurch.com. We hope you have a great week.